Had a bug loose back there.
Sir?
Had a bug loose back there.
Yes.
Good morning. Welcome to Liberty Baptist Church to Berean Bible Class. Let's all stand and sing Nothing But the Blood. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon this I see, nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. First Thessalonians 4, when it says, then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the cloud to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. So it tells us there that the folks that have passed away are there, the folks that were saved are already there, and when he comes back, we'll join them up there. Well, another one of those passed away, I understand. Brother McNally, the fellow that's in the wheelchair that had missing leg, he passed away evidently last night in his sleep. So, you ought to pray for his wife. All right, so let's go and pray, and then we'll continue with the Sunday school class. Father, I ask that you'd meet with us. We need your help, need your presence. I ask that you would give us wisdom today and just meet with us. We need you here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Yeah, Brother Bernardo doesn't need your prayers. He's already a lot better off than we are, but his family's going to miss him. All right, let's sing If Jesus Goes With Me.
It may be in the valley where countless dangers hide. It may be in the sunshine that I in peace abide. But this one thing I know, it be dark or fair, if Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. It is not mine to question the judgments of my Lord. It is but mine to follow the leading of his word. But if to go or stay, or whether here or there, I'll be with my Savior content anywhere. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere. 'Tis heaven to me, where'er I may be, if he is there. I count it a privilege here, his cross to bear. If Jesus goes with me, I'll go anywhere.
Let's pray this morning. Lord, we ask that you be with us this morning, Lord, and hear the speakers this morning in Sunday school and church service. Give them power and wisdom, Lord, as they bring your word to us. Be with the buses, Lord, and those that ride on the buses. ask you to bless all those that are here this morning, that if there's one lost without Christ, that they'll be saved. Hear the nation, Lord, and other nations that are having trouble this morning. Be with the Ukrainian people and bless them with their courage and their resolve. Father, we ask that you intervene there in some way. And Lord, we ask you to be with our sick this morning. Be with the McNally family. Take care of them now, Lord, and comfort them. Be with our folks that are sick this morning, Lord. I ask you to be with them in a special way. You'd raise them up, comfort them, heal them. Pray for our police officers and our military, Lord, this morning. As you bless them, give them courage and meet their needs, Lord, as they try to take care of us. Through their hospitals and their doctors and the nurses and the EMS folks, Lord, that help us when we have needs. Father, we thank you for your love to us. Thank you for our health and your blessings upon our lives. Most of all, Lord, we thank you for your salvation. We ask, Father, you go with us this morning, Lord, and through this day, that all we do and say and think would please you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
All right, we got any visitors today? Peterson, you can come up here. You can throw a dart if you want. Come on. Are you a dart thrower? You haven't done that in a long time. Glad you got on the board. All right. Okay. All right. Yes, please. All right. These are fairly nice darts. When I ordered the thing, I didn't know if they'd be any good or not. They're not as good as the ones we used to use in England. The ones in England were heavy. I mean, if you were throwing them things, it's like, anybody remember lawn darts? It's not too different from that. Anyway, all right, Jonah chapter 1. We're in this series, Jonah, Arise and Go. And I'll just go through quickly some of the things. The author's Jonah himself, the theme. We said there were two of them, the God of second chances and the God of all people. Jonah himself ministered under Nineveh, a city outside of Israel. The outline, the four chapters, kind of naturally divides up. Jonah rebels, chapter 1. Jonah repents, chapter 2. Jonah responds, chapter 3. And Jonah resents, chapter 4. Kind of sums up and summarizes the entire book. And we started with Jonah rebels. We talked about the connection. It says, now the word of the Lord. That's a connecting word to the other books around there, the other prophets. It's the Creator. Now the word of the Lord. The command tells him to go and to Nineveh. Contrary, not only did Jonah not go the way he was supposed to go, he went almost identically. If you look on the map, and where he was is here, and where he's supposed to go is Nineveh, is over here. When he went to Tarshish, it's way over there. So, I mean, he went almost the exact opposite way than where he was supposed to have went. So it was contrary. We divided chapter 3 up in pretty well. Resist, run, rebel, rummage, receipt, and recedes. You can see that through that verse. Resist, but Jonah. Run, rose to flee into Tarshish. Rebel from the presence of the Lord. Rummage, and he found his ship going to Tarshish. And then receipt, he paid the fare thereof, and recedes, he went down into it. I mentioned this last time, probably mention it again, attributed to evangelist Rabbi Zacharias. He said, "This sin will take you farther than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and cost you more than you want to pay." And that's certainly true. So, and then we're down to control, verses 4 through 6. We'll be looking at those today. God begins to take control of the situation, of the circumstances, if you will. He begins to take control of the account. And the first thing he does is he causes a storm. So the first pointer, there would be storm. And Jonah 1:4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." And the verse begins with a contrast, if you will, a comparison word, even a collision between Jonah and God. If you look at the beginning of verse 3 and the beginning of verse 4, you can see this contrast very clearly. Jonah 1:3 starts off with, "But Jonah rose up." So Jonah, he does get up like God told him to, but he ended up going down. But it says, "But Jonah rose up." Chapter 1, verse 4 says, "But the Lord." So verse 3 says, "But Jonah." Verse 4 says, "But the Lord." And in God's supreme position, if you will, His supreme passion, even supreme possession of everything, God does allow, in verse 3, for Jonah to have his own way. He allows him to travel his own way. He allows him to go his own way, as He often does us. God wants us to go one way, and we even might know it. That's the way we should go. We say, "Oh, no, I ain't going that way. I'm going this way." You say, "Well, does God go, 'Oh, no, buddy, you ain't going that way?" No, He initially lets you have your way. It's as if God sat by and just allowed Jonah to do his own thing. Dr. Barnes says it this way. This he expresses by the word, "But." Jonah took his measures, but now God takes His. He had let Him have His way, as He often deals with those who rebel against Him. He lets them have their way up to a certain point. He waits in the tranquility of His almightiness until they have completed their preparations, and then, when man has ended, He, God, begins that man may see the more that is His doing. So, God, He lets us have our way. He lets us go our way for a while. And you can see what God's doing. He just allows Jonah to do it. God could have stopped Jonah right at the very beginning, but He didn't. Because man does have his freedom of will. And so, so God could have totally controlled the situation right from the beginning. He could have totally controlled the setting and forced Jonah to go his way. But God did not want to force him. He wanted Jonah to go of his own volition. God doesn't operate that way. He doesn't have a bunch of automatons. He has people. And we all have our own minds. And so He allows for man's will. He allows for women's actions. He allows for our conduct. If we think about this for a minute, God, He's perfect. He's perfect. He's flawless. He's faultless. So therefore, His way would always be the correct path. His map would always have the correct direction listed on it. His guidance would always lead to the right destination. If we just wake up one day and say, "You know, we're going to do this God's way, and we're going to stop doing my way." But God allows us to have our way to a point. I was reading a lot of stuff, and I came across this. This is a professor, so you'll have to excuse the professor. I don't even know if he's a Christian, but it was talking about parenting, because in a sense, what God did with Jonah is much like what parents do to their children. Very similar. The professor said it is difficult for a parent of any child to sit back and allow their child to make a mistake. I mean, it's hard for us to sit by. We can see the path. I mean, we've been down the road a while, further than what the child has, even though, you know, a child 15, 16, they think parents don't know anything. But they can see the mistake. Most parents go out of their way to protect their children from everything, from bumps and bruises to emotional upset. However, at some point, part of being a good parent is letting go and watching them move through unfamiliar territory without holding their hand. Even though they may be able to see with your own eyes full of wisdom that they are making a bad decision, you are advised to let them go. The reason is simple. Very few people ever learn from other people's mistakes. And until your child experiences life firsthand, they will not be able to devise their own warning system that consists of common sense and experience. Now, that comes from a professor and you know, not from a godly sort. But you can see the point. A parent with a child, the relationship between God and Jonah are much very similar to a parent and a child. Jonah is, he does belong to God. He's a prophet of God. He mentions that. We'll look at that in a minute. So he belongs to God. But God still allows him to make mistakes. I've often made this statement about children. Allow your children to make mistakes while they are home. That way, you are there to help and rescue them. Children that are browbeat all their life and they never have to make decisions on their own, when they get on their own, they're going to make mistakes out there. And you're not going to be there to help them. So it'd be good for parents to allow, just like God allowed Jonah, it'd be good for parents to allow the child to make some mistakes. Especially while at home. I don't want to get too personal, but, you know, all of us parents on our first child, anybody made mistakes on their first child? Everybody's hand ought to, anybody's got a child ought to have their hand up. Yeah. As you go through, by the time you get to the ones down the road, you know, you're a little better able to handle things. But at the beginning, it's hard. And so you expect perfection. Someone made a statement years ago, and at that time, I did not agree with it. He said it would be better if your child didn't live a complete perfect life, but they still had your heart. It would be better for a child to make some mistakes, but still have the parent's heart. And I'm thinking, no, they need to be perfect. Children are not perfect. Jonah wasn't perfect. Children aren't perfect either. And they're going to make mistakes. So the best thing for them to do is make mistakes while they're home, so you can be there to help. Someone laid out four benefits. I don't know if I agree with all of them, but I thought it was interesting. Of allowing children to make mistakes. Self-confidence gives them self-confidence. If they make their own decisions, gives them self-confidence. Build coping skills. When they make a mistake, they have to cope with that. Child makes a mistake, the parent's job is to say, okay, what are you going to do to fix it? Learn to take responsibility. Isn't that a big one today? Seems to me like nobody wants to take responsibility for anything. It's always somebody else's fault. It's always because, you know, and they have a whole litany of reasons why. Developing wisdom, I like particularly, again, learn to take responsibility for one's own actions. So God, who is perfect, and God, who is without fault, is the perfect parent, the perfect dad, the perfect nurturer. And again, in this situation, God and Jonah, much like what a parent and child will be, and God allows Jonah to go out on his own and make his own decisions, even though they are absolutely opposite to what the God's plan for his life were. So God is the perfect parent. And he allows Jonah to go on his own, but only so far. Then God will step in and move in and provide a course correction. And that's exactly what happens. Jonah 1:4 says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea." So Jonah's on his own. He's decided he's going to go the wrong way. He pays his fare and gets on this boat and he's going the wrong way. And God says, "Okay, Jonah, it's wake up time. It's pay up time. It's course correction time." But Jonah sent out a great wind, but the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. God creates a great gust of air, a puff on the atmosphere, a great wind, and turns into this great tempest. Now, the word tempest is most often translated into this word, and by far most often translated into this word, whirlwind. So this tempest was a whirlwind. Here's an example, 2 Kings 2:1. "It came to pass when the Lord would take up Elijah in heaven by a whirlwind that Elijah went with Elijah unto Gilgal." But from the root of the word, if you take the very root and kind of expand that word out, it means this: a hurricane. So Jonah, he's running from God. He's running away. He's running his own way. And can you hear God? Can you see God? Can you feel God saying, "Okay, Jonah, that's far enough. It's time to stop. I had a plan for you. It's time to stop." I think about this hurricane. Whenever anybody mentions a hurricane, I always think back to this date. Back in August of 2005. One of my daughters was living in Biloxi, Mississippi at the time. And at that time, she was working in billeting, kind of like a hotel. She was one of the people that would make reservations and check people in and that type of stuff for the hotel they had at the base. And had a lot of connecting with a lot of people. Well, about that time, August 19th, 2005, there was a little blowing. There was a little puffing. There was a little gust of wind. Anybody remember? Yeah. Hurricane Katrina. A Category 5. I told people when they named it, I thought, "Oh, Lord, it's going to be a bad one." Say, "Why did you say that?" Well, if you know my daughter's name, now, again, she lived in Biloxi. I mean, hurricane ground zero. And if you know her name, you know two things. The hurricane was going to be a whopper, and her name was as good as mud, because her name's Katrina. So she's in Biloxi with the hurricane coming in. That's her name. So, anyway, there's this hurricane. God causes a hurricane on the water there. Next, we are told that Jonah was a southerner. And even if it's not Jonah, it's God. Maybe it's God that's a southerner. But I believe that Jonah was a southerner. Now, Jonah was from Gath-Hepher. Jonah, the son of Amittai, the prophet, which was of Gath-Hepher. He must have been a southerner. You say, how do you know that? Because of the southern drawl. It says, "But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken." Does that sound southern to you? It sounds southern to me. It was like to be broken. So there's this storm, this hurricane. God says, "Enough. Jonah, you went far enough. It's time to get your attention." So first off, there's a storm. Second off, there's, I put this point, scared. Next comes the fright or the fear or the fainting seamen, verse 5. "Then the mariners were afraid." Now, these mariners were experienced mariners. We're talking about seamen. People have been out there a lot. "Then the mariners were afraid and cried every man unto his God and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep." So there's the being scared or the fright or the fear of these guys. The word mariner is only used four times in the Old Testament. Every time it's translated mariners. These mariners, they were trained, seasoned, experienced sailors. They were not novices. They weren't first timers. They weren't amateurs. These were folks that knew what being out on the water would be like, and knew how to handle these type of situations generally. Now, the place they would, anybody know what water they were on in the book of Jonah? Mediterranean, the Mediterranean Sea. They're out there, and Jonah would have to sail or ride or float across this Mediterranean. Now, the Mediterranean is known for these type of tempests, these type of hurricanes. I was reading this. Dr. Barnes has this to say, at least such tempests often swept across that shore and were known by their own special name, like unto Euroclydon off Crete. Remember that one in Acts. Jonah too alone had gone down below deck to sleep, and when the storm came, the mariners thought it possible to put back. Josephus says of the shore, Joppa, having by nature no haven, for it ends in a rough shore, mostly abrupt, but for the short space having projections, deep rocks and cliffs advancing into the sea, inclining on either side towards each other, the north wind beating right on the shore, dashing the high waves against the rocks which receive them, make the station there a harborless sea. So the area of Joppa, they couldn't go back. They would like to have went back, but they could not go back. And they were in trouble, so they tried to throw everything out. Did you notice they were all praying to their own gods? Again, these sailors would have been experienced. They've been old hands. They've been hardened mariners. So evidently, this small puff that God created must have been a big hurricane. Because even they were worried and concerned and anxious and scared. Again, storms or hurricanes are common in that part of the world. 2021 Mediterranean hurricane season is an ongoing tropical cyclone season. The season officially begins, now this is last year, January 2021, will end in September 15th, 2021, so it goes for like 9 months. Brianna, which was one of the hurricanes, formed on September 11th, bringing heavy winds to Malta. Brianna, continuing intensifying, reached its record peak intensity with winds of 120 miles per hour with a pressure of 963 millibars. Brianna traversed Sardinia, bringing heavy winds and rain. Subtropical depression one quickly formed on the left of the basin, becoming a Category 3 in the Red Sea by the time it got to the Red Sea. But you get the idea. In that area of the world, there's a lot of hurricanes. We have a hurricane season here. Florida has hurricane season down there. Well, they have it in the Mediterranean as well. So it's not unusual for them to have these hurricanes, and yet this hurricane was so bad that they're accustomed to these hurricanes. These sailors were accustomed to it, but it was so bad that even these sailors, these seasoned sailors, were kind of worried and concerned. So evidently it was a bad, bad hurricane. So the storm scared, and then nextly, verse 6, I call it summons or sleeper, verse 6. So the shipmaster came to Jonah and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call upon thy God. Now, they had been calling on their gods. All these sailors, you know, the little G gods. And the shipmaster comes and says, O sleeper, arise and call upon thy God, if so be that God will think upon us that we perish not. So all these other sailors, they were calling on their little G gods and, you know, trying to get hold of them, trying to call out. And here's Jonah. He's down there in the middle of a storm, fast asleep. What a guy, huh? He knew he was God's. And as we go through this first chapter, we'll figure out that Jonah knew he belonged to God. And he knew all this stuff was happening because of him and his relationship with God. But they asked him to call upon God. Now, Jonah may have been running from God, but Jonah still knew who he belonged to. And by the way, it looks to me like the other guys on the ship knew who he belonged to as well. Jonah 1:9 puts it this way, and he said unto them, I am in Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. So Jonah belonged to God, and I believe they knew it. That I think that's one of the reasons why the shipmaster came and said, you better cry out to your God. We can learn several things from this in our present life. I hope you get this. First off, we can learn this. We ought not be ashamed of God. Even when we're not in a perfect place, even when we're outside where we probably would need to be, we ought not be ashamed of God. Even if you're not in the proper place, even if you're not in the positive place that you should be, God will still know you, and you ought to still know Him and not be ashamed of Him. If you ever belonged to God, if you ever belonged to God, you are forever owned by God. 1 John 5:11 puts it this way, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Either you got it or you don't. Verse 13, a familiar verse, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. So verse 12 puts it this way, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. If you've ever had life through the Lord Jesus, you still got it. He's not an Indian giver. He doesn't give it and take it back. I was talking to someone yesterday at a door and asked them about where they're going to heaven. They said, well, we're trying. We are today, but you never know what might happen in the days to come. And I'm thinking, I tried to explain to the person that Jesus is the one that our trust is, not us. Because if we trusted in this, you're right. It depends what comes up. But we're not trusting in us. We're trusting in the Lord Jesus. And if we're trusting in Him and He gave us everlasting life, what could we ever do to get out of that? So anyway, Jonah, he's a prophet of God. Jonah belonged to God. Jonah was God's representative. And just because Jonah was on the run did not mean that God was going to cast him off and God was going to throw him out of the family and God was going to remove Himself from Jonah. God doesn't remove Himself from us, so we ought not remove ourselves from Him. Even if we're not living quite right at the time. Because Jonah was he's way out of where he's supposed to have been. In fact, sometimes in our lives, problems that come, like that hurricane that was going on in Jonah, sometimes those problems, they just kind of let us know that, yeah, He's still our Father. He's still watching us. Hebrews 12:5, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. Oh, we don't like that. The chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Verse 8 says, but if you are without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are you bastards and not sons. He tells us, sometimes the trouble we have, if one of the ways we can tell we're saved, if we get off into sin and we end up with trouble and we know God's calling our name, that's a verification. Yeah, He's still my dad. He's still my God. He's still my Father. Let me put it this way. If I gave my child, and I'm talking about a younger child now, an order or a command or a job, and they immediately start rebelling and yelling and resisting and calling me all kinds of names and that type of stuff, as my child, they're going to be a payday pretty quick. They're going to be a change of understanding. There's going to be an unwelcomed meeting between the child and myself and my parent, or myself and my child. But they'll still be my child. No matter what they do, they'll still be my family. They'll still be my kid. I cannot or would not want to disown them. And by the way, I've seen this happen. I've seen parents disown their children. The children get to the point where the parent just throws their hand up and kicks them out the house and says, go your own way. We got to take separate paths. That child is still your child. You can kick them out. They're still your child. I've seen children do the exact opposite, give up their parents. It's so sad. We have some veterans that are up in age, 60s and 70s, and they have been in Haven for Hope, and they've been in all kinds of these little homeless shelter type places all across town, and the Lord only knows what they've done to their family. And you call the child to try to figure out what you can do for them, and the child says, I don't want anything to do with them. Now, they might say that, but in God's eyes, they're still family. Now, let's change the scene a little bit. How about if we change the address to Walmart or HEB or Kroger's or one of those type places, and someone else's child talks back, or someone else's child yells at their parent, or someone else's child totally disrespects their parent, may even hit them. Now, I feel sad. I feel bad. I might even feel a little mad. But it's not my child. Now, if my child, I have to handle it. But it's not my child. It's somebody else's child. And they're going to have to handle that child. Well, from God's perspective, when he looks at us, we're his children. Just like Jonah was his child, Jonah was his prophet. Jonah belonged unto God. So when Jonah made the wrong decision, God had to get his attention. Really proved that Jonah really did belong to God. Even though he's going the wrong way, he still belonged unto God. So even though, and when he was in this situation, even though this situation was horrible, when he talked to the mariners and stuff and told them who he was, they believed him. He was the prophet of God. Even when we're out of the will of God, where we ought not be, you ought not be ashamed of your God. So that's first off. Second off, when trouble happens, folks look to Christians. When trouble happens, folks look to Christians. The shipmaster came down there and asked Jonah to start praying. Well, when trouble happens, they'll come to you and ask you to pray for them as well. People will often come. One of the reasons you ought to let people know where you work or where you spend a lot of your time, you ought to know, you ought to let them know who you are and who you belong to. Because even a Christian running away from God, people still know there's this connection. Even if there's not a solid connection now, they know there used to be, and they can get a hold of God better than the person that's in trouble right now. Might be marriage problems, might be money problems, might be other issues. A death in the family, sickness, failures, all these type of things. Could be any of these type of things. And when someone's in trouble, they look for the Christian. I don't know how many times I've been at work, and you've probably done the same thing, or been in some situation where someone comes and they start telling you their life story. Okay, I don't know if I want to know all that, but they give you the whole story. You know what? They're looking for direction. Looking for a direction. They're looking for someone that can help in this situation and get a hold of God. The mariners went to Jonah, to the prophet, to the child of God, and asked him to pray for them. And if we're living for God, particularly if we're living for God, they'll come and ask us. But even if we're not in the will of God, if they know we're a Christian, the person that on Facebook, when they're the one Facebook says, oh, God is my God, Jesus is my Lord, and church is my home, and they got all that stuff, and then the next text has got a cuss word in it. You're like, huh? That don't go together. But you get a person like that in a work situation and somebody's going through trouble, you know what they're going to do? They're going to come talk to that person. Even though they might not be living up to what the standards ought to be. So what that tells us is we ought to let everybody around us know that we're a Christian. I went into an office Thursday or Friday, and some guy was cussing. I said, whoa, language. He said, there's nobody here. I said, I'm here. Tone it down. You know, we don't need to hear all those words. And if you'll do that when they're going through problems, you'll be the first person to call. So anyway, the connection, the creator, the command, contrary, resist, run, rebel, rummage, receipt, receives, control, storm, scared, summon, sleeper. Do not be ashamed of God, even when you're not where you're supposed to be. And when trouble happens, folks will look to Christians. So we're going to get out a little early, look like me today, and that's okay. My wife always tells me they'd much rather get out 5 minutes early than 5 minutes late. So and she's probably right. So I appreciate you coming today, and we're going to pray, and we'll be dismissed. Father, I ask that you bless what's been said. Help us to put these things into practice in our lives and be the right.